You're listening to Madiba's Radio.
Opula pule Madiba's Radio.
Utelerije Madiba's Radio.
Otecheleza Madiba Radio.
Omametse Madiba's Radio.
Akulise na Madiba's Radio.
Dalile I Madiba's Radio.
Ulaleli Madiba's Radio.
Niko checheleza Madiba's Radio.
Utelerije Madiba's Radio.
You're listening to Madiba's Radio, opening up the waves for you to be heard.
Righty! What's up? Afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Madiba Drive podcast here at Madiba's Radio podcast. La Lela. Every episode, every day. And I'm in there. I'm not hosting alone. My lady. I'm with the ever so gorgeous ladies next to me. Mama.
How are you, darling?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Lalela, we are here giving them another episode of great vibes, great conversations every time.
And umkosi oshisayo.
Yeah,
the tea is piping hot and I don't know how to feel about it.
And yes, and also an exciting thing is the fact that it's spring month. Qalile nje.
Summer vibes.
Yaqalela.
You know, when it hits, when I saw 1st of September, I was like, it's the new year. It's a new year, new beginning, new chapter.
But I hope that you're also enjoying, you know, the breeze and the fresh air. Igamanting ongezi wogana kumba. I am Onge Joy, the joy, the lady of talk. And my ever joy, my joy.
And to work on. So I went out to be your joy on the airwaves, honey. We're here for a good time and not a long time.
I mean.
Yeah.
And yes, and yes, it's in this sense, guy, as we're mentioning the scoop, ne? This week has been throwing hands like
it has. It has, girl.
Because it's about to be recess, so you know the lecturers are just giving in the submission dates. Like,
and
it's
they don't
crazy.
Care. They really don't care.
They really don't care.
They
I
don't.
Found my eyes, you know, giving me problems.
It's that time. Hey, I was even having a conversation with someone. I was like, it's that time of the year whereby yako was serious. If you
reals.
Thought yako was semester one, no.
For reals, this is where.
This is where the real
fire, the
goal
is
and the real survivors make
and
it.
And
it was so
like, velo,
because after recess,
October,
we
like,
just have a few weeks. After that, it's going to go on my
exam. And then
it's where
you decide your faith. What's it next year? Same time, same place.
But
I have faith. I go to when are you gonna make it? Have
and
faith,
keep going.
Yourself, keep you pushing, keep studying. And also, Lana, talking about faith, okay, feel my about say confirms what to shut in faith in at the center.
Okay.
Well, the social media influencer and reality TV star Refilwe Mabote has confirmed that she has legally married her fourth marriage after sharing wedding pictures with her 1.6 million
fourth.
Instagram followers. Fourth marriage. I saw the video. It was
1, 2, 3, 4.
Like girl.
Like 1, 2.
Energy yokushada, une love yokushada.
When you can
Fourth time.
No,
you can't go spin. If your spin doesn't work, then
it's chai, dog. Like,
it's chai. It will take one person to move mountains and cities across the oceans for them to
she has their faith.
The faith! It's the faith!
To keep going!
It's the faith they're talking about, Vuyo. And ish, can I give you like a
my girl. I mean, I think there's two perspectives to it.
Yeah.
There's the side, because I mean, maybe she's a lover girl.
Yeah.
She's a lover girl, and she's just like, I'll give love a chance anytime, any day, honey.
But also, that is also very beautiful, you know, because you can't put your life on standstill because it didn't work out last time. And the fact that she's hiding and not showing the identity of her partner now, maybe is a sebenza, because maybe it's genuine. It's not about what people can say, people can see. Now it's about me and the person that I'm marrying. So maybe Ngogu ya bonu kuthi, hey, son.
And the tweets were booming, son, bashing her more than anything. No one is actually really celebrating the fact that she's getting married for the fourth time.
I don't understand at the same time, let a person do what they want to do with their lives. If I want to get married for the 10th time, I think
then
it's okay.
What?
I should just do it if I'm happy. Yeah, but if I'm happy, pull my game.
Yeah, I think umuntu akenze into that works for them.
Yeah, but
So because at the end of the day, oh happy girl,
she's happy. And come on, getting married for the fourth time, it could be people abangazange bachata bampeshayo who don't even understand
exactly
where she comes from.
Ungenapi.
Oh, where she comes from, understand.
Awushadanga, but you have an opinion around me getting married for the fourth time. Come on.
But ke umabote, from fasting for months of deliverance to burning her Versace items as a symbol of breaking down idols. She has been outspoken about a transformation, or she's a changed woman, basically. Mm. She's like, man, Jay, I am just going to sit down, fast, focus on God, be this new person, enjoy my fourth marriage, and just, yeah, well.
I have a bone to pick with that.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, when did this whole change start? Did it start because it was genuinely part of her life, kwaseqaleni?
Mm-hmm.
Or because now this man suddenly came into her life? And what if it's a decision that she made out of a male-centered sense?
Maybe the man has a sort of influence.
You see. Now, is it actually genuine?
Genuine? That's the question. That's the question I think we all have, Wuti. Is it really genuine? Maybe it's genuine. Maybe he has a positive, because someone transforming into loving and being known as a luxury girl, to now centering herself to focusing on isn't this a positive woman bag and not materialistic things. It's a good thing.
It is.
It's a good thing because Uza was turned more naive instead of focusing with all the neck, Gucci bag, I have this bag.
The idols now, she's talking about.
The idols she's mentioning. So now, if this man she's marrying has that influence in her life, I think it's a good thing. But I just hope now she's happy. With that choice.
I think on the other end, it's also a question of, I hope it's not coming from a point of being male-centered to the point whereby now to impress this man and to feel accepted by this man, then let me now give my life to Christ and be this dignified woman.
Especially didn't work out three times. Now she wants to secure this one.
To secure this one, to make it work.
And not feel like she failed.
Exactly. So,
and that's what happens to most people who most people who have money, who have which I can say maybe everything in life, who have the privilege and get what they wanna get, wanna wear the luxury and the expensive clothing when it comes to relationships, always wanna be validated and everything. And Gengo, I just hope she is not in that space, as you're saying, she can be influenced.
And you know, majority of people who are in the influencer space or content creator, lifestyle, majority of the time you see that they do things obviously for the gram. Mm. Obviously, their bag at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But you actually see majority of the time that they are actually alone. And there's that void. You know? So it begs the question of, is this genuine or not?
And it does get to that point even with Mna. Sometimes I just feel like, I'm just thinking for someone who's in a bigger space.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to just accept anyone in your life. You could just accept someone in your life. Yeah. And they're there to just sort of find, go to Pilanja and whatever maybe you share Nabo, they might use it so when you're in that space, you really need genuine people in your side, and it's very hard now to choose who colors decide who's really genuine next to you,
especially with the life that you live.
Yeah, Bona, if you want to keep your life private, you need people who are going to be able to understand that. Look at, I'm going to mention Zozibini, the way she got married.
Yes.
You need such people who are
tight circle.
Oh, so
even Untando Duma.
Even Untando Duma. Oh, and she is so in love.
Circle.
She is so love in love.
It for the girlies.
You get me?
Love
so
it for the girlies.
It's that sort of circle most people who are in that space look for. That's like they know it's okay, sure, lang, you're safe.
Yeah.
And when someone portrays that part, you're bang at ba safe, you're going to do whatever it takes to make sure you keep them. Even if it means sometimes to change and be a God-fearing woman. I hope
it's not that.
I hope it's not that.
I mean, even from watching her on the South Africa's luxury influencer show, Young Famous. She
Young Rich and Famous.
She was a girl's girl.
She was
a girl's girl throughout.
So how sweet she is.
She's very sweet, straightforward, knows her boundaries. So I'm guessing Kubana, her making this decision is very much intentional. Very much intentional, not something out of pocket. Hopefully everything goes well.
Yeah. You see that video though, where they were chatting with the other influencers, it was a couple, sort of two couple thing. I don't know if you saw the clips. I've been watching on TikTok a lot. She's very outspoken, man. She's not scared to say what's on her mind.
Yes.
She just speaks, and you cannot shield her.
Yeah.
I just hope she stands, whatever the decisions she made about choosing God and being with God and being this woman now, this changed person. I hope Uti, it comes from that point of being strong, being outspoken, and also staying true to what she believes and what she thinks. Yeah, but
and you know, I admire the fact that, like, you know, within the black community as well, it's a very rare thing to divorce.
Yeah.
The fact that you divorced once, twice, the third time. You know, that means there are certain things that you couldn't stand.
Yeah, and you stand your ground.
Yeah, and you stand your ground.
Stay for this.
So let's not look at it from a point of, girl, your marriage failed, but from a point of, actually, she knows what she wants.
Yeah.
You know? And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And that's what we need to debunk as a black community.
Nalendo, we should actually do take it as a lesson as well. Kutsi maungekho happy lapho
puma. Khona omunye ozokuthanda
uzothandwa uhle
buka manje sekufourth uhappy
futhi and alive bayisebenze aphume futhi
umthande neingane zakhe
uyayiva ke ngoku
kuleka.
So nje we should all just take this as a lesson and just learn from her nje as a strong person and strong woman that she is. Yabo,
big ups to her and for her giving love a chance again. And I really hope that this time love is kinder to her. Love is more gentle to her. And this one is a good one, you know? Good one.
But ke, amanye abantu abekho happy.
Eish. Kukhala abanye. Abanye abekho happy. Yabona, ngeke sijabule sonke.
Ngeke, sinesikhathi sokujabula, sinesikhathi sokukhala. But Lana, we are having Kabonina Qobeka, who's unhappy with how her Shaka Ilembe storyline ended.
Hey, you know what? I got here and I was debunking. I said, I'm not happy. I'm not happy about how Shaka Ilembe ended.
Yeah, her storyline.
I'm not happy.
Okay. Tell me about it.
I thought it was going to be more dramatic. I thought, like, she was going to use her powers of some sort, you know, to escape the death. Like, something more like, sure.
And then so that maybe Apina Vuge.
From McFanny.
From McFanny, something.
You get what I mean? Like, but it was just like an ending where this character is displayed as such a strong woman and nothing beats her, you know? And now at when the she end, died. She's just defeated and there's no fight within her, which is something that doesn't add up with the character that she was really.
Which is why I think Kabonina is not happy. I think she also feels the same way because she opened up a city disappointed. Because her character, the Queen Ntombazi, Uti, the season 2 ending Jay, is not nice, which is what we're also agreeing with. Because Uti and I, there were other clips they took, there's other scenes they shot, there's other parts they shot which were fire. But Uti, maybe they edited and deleted some parts and then by editor to the way the production wants it.
But why?
Yena, she feels like she gave in her full on performance.
And, I know people don't like her character. I know it because it's witchcrafty. But wow.
Yeah.
She nailed that role.
And that is what everyone says.
Women powerful. Like, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Do I want to be a gwicha in my next life? What a woman.
Yeah.
Exceptional in her role. Now, and I really understand her not being happy about it because I feel like there was probably more depth to that scene. But now that scene was just left as just a character that just gave up, which is not her spirit within the character that she has.
Yeah. You know? I believe Gutu also as a person out of the character.
Yes.
Maybe that's why she's fighting for this. Besides Ubu Gwicha, I think she loved the power that the character brings. I thought it was strong kwayo. I think it does resemble her as a woman also. And then now at the end, you're getting just defeated. I think that's what she hated.
Maybe she was disappointed at that like my character just ended like that. Just and there's a like reason why I wanted that character.
Yes, you know. But overall,
She nailed it.
Everyone is praising and appreciating the work she did throughout the whole show.
Clock it. Clock women in the industry. Shout out to all the women that are in the industry. Especially her. As season 2 came to an end, she killed it. She killed it from the beginning up until the end. Mm-hmm. I think also, you see the closing scene whereby she gives Ukoloza the poison, right? It was such an act of love, the way I saw it. Because she didn't want Ukoloza to go through that pain or for her to watch Umdanake go through that pain. You know, it was such an act of love which contrasts a character yake.
Which raised a lot of questions with people. Guti, do you think that was actually a good idea for her to give Ukoloza the poison? But which is what you're answering, it was actually out of love. And I also believe the same thing. No, add the poison.
And she also doesn't have to witness Umdanake crying and zonke zozinto after also going through so many things. Sure, that scene, guys, it was like, oh, it's the end for real. Like, everyone was actually giving up.
Yeah, but ke, sila manje.
Yeah.
She's no longer part of the show. But this is to give Okabonina her flowers. At 44, she's doing amazing things as an actress and entrepreneur. She has made quite a lasting impact on Shaka Ilembe, and we've been just watching her grow as well. Since Dala Simbone TV, to now her making such a big appearance and making such a great impact. So it's okay. Siyakubona, mama. Siyakubona.
We're shining the light on you.
We're shining the light on you and giving you your flowers. And yeah, man.
You know, I would really love to interview these people and ask them, you know how we even had our lovely interview, you know, that we cannot wait for you guys to listen to. But obviously, I would love to ask her, Obana, that how did that character even come about?
Yeah.
Is it personal to you?
How did you channel yourself into the character?
Like, where is it coming from? You know, all of those questions. And also the most important question of Obana, when you leave that scene or when you leave production, whatever, do you come out of there wanting to leave the character absolutely? Mm-hmm. Or does that character stick with you throughout?
Because even if Usendlin, you have to practice the lines. So every now and then you have to tap into their character's shoes. So basically the character lives in you.
Yeah.
I believe it just lives in
you. It just lives in you. But sometimes you really want to get out of your comfort zone and try something new.
But Ukabonina has always been that
girl. She's been that girl.
She's
been that girl. She is that girl. And she's still going to be that
and
girl.
Always be that girl.
You know?
But I'm excited about the next interview we're about to have live in studio.
It's an amazing one. Honey.
Listen, honey, to wrap up Women's Month, we decided to call and celebrate women, phenomenal women who are just doing great things and also impacting and inspiring through their talent, through their resilience, and also their impact that they have on us. And today, we are joined by the award-winning actress. Sancho, she is known for her unforgettable role as Uthembe Kashezi on Scandal and so much more that she's worked in. She's beautiful. She's wonderful. She's got
Sana, even her energy when she gets into a room. Aura. Sikhuluma nge-aura lana. Yezwa yini?
Mamela, ladies and gentlemen. Masasa. Lindiwe. Bangeni will be joining us in studio. I'm super excited.
Same.
I can't wait to talk to her. Let us just call her to join in studio. Let us go call her.
Madiba's Radio.
Listen and welcome again to the Diva Drive podcast at Madiba's Radio. Ikamandi ongeziwa kona kumba. I'm Ongi Joy, the lady of talk. Every day, bege, I'm not driving solo. Mm-hmm. I always have a beautiful, ever so gorgeous ladies next to me. And I'm shanjani yama no my joy.
Oh,
my darling.
As you know it, every time when we're together, sana, it's just joy.
Kona la, ando man.
Elam, ikamangubuyelue to work one's way, but now to be your joy. And otherwise, we're going to be having an amazing show today. Right?
I'm super excited today. We have a guest live in studio. Sanjo, it's not just anyone. She's a South African actress, a casting director, and a producer. Yalapekabe. But she's known for her iconic role as the cunning Thembeka Shezi on the popular TV series Scandal. Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise. Help me welcome in studio, Mrs. Thembeka Shezi. I'm even calling you by your role name.
I'm in awe of how gorgeous she is.
Everyone does that. Thank
it's
you.
It's Masasa Mbangeni.
That's correct. That's my ID name.
Are you good, ma'am?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for such a stunning introduction.
Oh, you look so beautiful. I can't stop laying my eyes on you.
I beat my face for you girls when you get invited. Yes. To Madiba's Radio, you have to look and come correct. So
exactly.
I tried.
Yes, of course. How is it like also growing up in Nkabeja, like now, and also how is it now? How did it like shape you as a person? Like namhlanje sibona uSisimasasa Mbangeni and we look up to you. How did it shape you to be the person that you are today?
Oh my gosh. Well, I grew up when the city was still called Port Elizabeth.
Yes.
Ibai. To Ibai. To Ibai. To Ibai. To Ibai. To Ibai. Or something along those lines. And growing up in this beautiful, windy seaside town, it's only when you leave and you come back that you realize how much the city has impacted you.
Yeah.
The people, the sense of community, how sheltered I was, how I was on the artistic sense. At the time when I was coming up, there was a newspaper called The Evening Post, mm-hmm. and they used to host this show called Showtime, and we'd dance, like sing to musical tunes. I know you guys don't know that because it's not it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And so I grew up at a time where you'd have opportunities like that. I went to Alex in high school, so doing musicals at Alex. Mm-hmm. Basically, to answer your question, I grew up in a city, in a context that really cultivated my cultural self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I owe everything that I am to Port Elizabeth, aka Qabeja, aka Qabs.
Yes, I love that. You know, I've seen like your videos on TikTok as well. And every time I watch it, I see the uniqueness and how like every time you come back home, there's that essence of I'm home.
Yeah.
This is where I am. Absolutely. This is where I belong.
Absolutely. I think anyone who ever leaves home and comes back will also say the same. And you appreciate, like I know a lot of people talk a lot of nonsense about South Africa, but it's the same.
Yeah.
That if you leave South Africa and you go and explore other countries, as I encourage everyone should, especially when you're young, you come back with a real sense of like your east, north, north, south, east, west, home is best.
Yeah.
You understand why that adage has come to be so popular. Mm. And similarly, whenever I touch down to P, I'm just like, because this is where my soul got into the world. So, of course.
So also in high school and also in primary, could say that actually just built your foundation for love for performing.
Oh, absolutely.
And can you tell us more about that? And also, is there any person or sort of that sort of motivated you, inspired you into being the person?
Oh,
that you
absolutely. Well, you know, my mother, first of all, is my number one motivation. Shout out to my girl. Shout out to Maduna.
Period.
Love you so much. But I went to a primary school called Erica Girls Primary School.
Mm.
And I started drama school there under the tutelage of an incredible lady. Her name was Elizabeth Hounsfield. She's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And her studio was called the Woodcote Studio at Erica Girls. And you guys have to understand, when I went to Erica, I was very shy. I stuttered. And so part of the reason that my mother put me through drama school was because of this colleague of hers that was confident and, you know, spoke up in front of people, and my mom was just like, when's Anjani when? And she told my mom, well, I did speech and drama lessons, so that's how I got into speech and drama. And I tell the story often, so I'm pretty sure people know about it, but you know, I'll say it again. I did a poem at the Savoy Theatre, my first ever I Stedford, and the poem, the title was Old Billy Ricky Sat in a Well.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember standing at this, now you guys must remember, I'm like an 8 and 9 little baby.
Are you not nervous?
I am so nervous. face.
Yeah.
I've never recited poetry live before. Everyone's looking at me. All I know is that I love this acting thing because I'm watching Pamela Nomvete on Generations at the time. And I go, old Billy Ricky, Miss Ban. I don't remember a single line. I am so nervous. I'm crying. My poor mom was there with me. And I remember them giving me like a double bronze. I still have it because my mom and I are hoarders.
I love that.
I'm a hoarder too. Everything is special.
Yeah.
And the double bronze was basically like, thanks for coming. We appreciate. We see you. Yay. And I remember Mrs. Hansfield just encouraging me, but no, it's going to get better. Yeah. You're starting.
And it really did.
And it really got incredibly better. Mm. So women, I mean, we're talking Women's Month. Women have been the cornerstone, have been the bedrock of my existence, in the form of them being my mother, my aunts, my cousins, my friends. Mm. Women have shaped and chiseled. My other drama teacher, Marlene Peters, at Stage Rule Theatre School, inculcated such an incredible sense of discipline in me.
Mm.
Like, women have been my backbone.
Yay.
Yeah, without women, without the community of women, without communing in love with women, I don't think I'd be who I am.
Yeah.
You know, I love how you talk about you growing up and the story behind it. But I also want to know, because I know in the olden days, everyone would say, you have to be a doctor, you have to be a chartered accountant.
Yeah.
Now, how is that like for you? And you're this girl that really wants to just make it in life and be an actress and be in the drama space.
I chuckled a bit because, you said in the olden days, I thought in my time, olden days was like BC, but I am in the olden days. You know, because I come from such a supportive family, it was never a case. I mean, I guess I was head girl in high school, so I guess everyone expected me to be a lawyer and a doctor and a this and a that. And I guess because I come from a family, and particularly my mother, who has always been like, make a decision and be able to stand by your decision, come what may. And it has never been under any threat or yay, wena. It has always been like, whatever makes you happy and you can stand the ups and downs, the obstacles, the joys, which will surely come whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, or whatever.
Yeah.
I never felt that pressure to be anything other than what I want to be.
Yeah.
And what I love now that you guys get to experience is that the world has completely changed.
Yeah.
And it's rapidly changing as a result of the disruptive element of AI, of technology advancing literally by the minute, that you literally can be anything you want to be. Yeah. And it's not just someone exaggerating and going, oh, I believe the children are the future. Like, you can literally, the jobs of the future haven't existed yet. Yes. They haven't been created. That's how you get what I mean? We're in a time where we don't know, and it can either fill you with trepidation or it can fill you with excitement. And I hope you guys choose the latter.
Sana. And you got to choose and study what you love at best. So you got to study dramatic arts.
I did,
through the Mandela Rhodes scholarship.
Ah, sure did. Yeah.
How did like the whole scholarship and also that's just studying at Vets and also just your course sort of develop you as an artist?
I will always encourage people to pursue higher education. Purely because of how it opens you up to the world, to new experiences, to these sort of experiences. Yeah, I mean, I did campus radio as well when I was in varsity. I know, it was so much fun.
She does have the voice. Please give us a link. Show us
what
you got.
No, guys, I haven't done it in such a long time.
You are natural. Queen.
Listen to her.
No, but listen to the story. So, for me, varsity was such a joyful time. I, like you said, went to Wits. I left Port Elizabeth, which was scary for me because that was the only way that you could pursue my line of work then.
Yeah.
You know, you had to leave your hometown, and I just left with a determination. I remember at the time there was a bus called Urodlinki. I mean, it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, because I
was like, what? Guys, I'm old. Don't let this cute face fool you. I could be your mother.
You're looking absolutely gorgeous.
Since saying she's older, she's aging like fine wine. Fine wine.
Literally.
Thank you, girls. And, you know, being a Mandela Rhodes Scholar was really a vibe. I still don't know to this day how I got that scholarship, because I remember my interview. We had to write an essay. I think the changed a bit now, you know, the things that you need to do in order to qualify. Mm. The requirements is the word that I was looking for. But I remember being at Bishop's Court. I think that's where they had our interviews in Cape Town. And being so overwhelmed because there were people there, like, this one's doing an honors in molecular biology technology with Nana.
What are you guys?
No, guys, you don't know me. I was just like, even me, I'm here.
You know, because you belong there.
Ma'am, I'm completely different. I don't look at an obstacle and I go, oh, what about me? So I go, no, I refuse to do that. I think in my head I was going, kukude kai, from PE to Johannesburg, from PE to Cape Town is easily 1,000 kilometers. Which is either way, I'm leaving here with something. In the words of Denzel, like I'm not here to play around. Yeah. I'm leaving with something, and I think if anyone takes anything away from our conversation, is don't look down on yourself. Like if you're not betting on you, if you're already if you're already giving up on your dreams, then the world can only reinforce what you already believe. But if you, with the deepest humility but also radical confidence, go, no, even me, I deserve to sit next to molecular. Yes. But and I remember one question that that was asked was, you know, Gen Z's and Gen, and I didn't, at the time, I didn't understand what those terms were, but I was there, like, going, yeah, I believe as this, and I think one of the interviewers went, do you actually know what it means? I was like, I don't know, but I answered you.
Think out of the box.
So my mama is full,
but
my cubing can.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Understand. Yeah.
And also, I think it's also very important, Lendoisho, your first in kind and confidence, especially to women and young women out there. What does being a woman mean to you? And also women's man, the whole celebration of women's man.
Yeah, I think when you think of the radical steps that those incredible women of 1956 took, literally, to resist.
Yeah.
I think in a world that is, it's like an E.E. Cummings quote where, and I'm definitely like messing it up, but he talks about in a world where everyone is trying to make you to be someone that you're not, being yourself isn't the ultimate goal, it's the ultimate achievement. And for me, when I look at the women of 1956 who resisted, I think sometimes siyanikezela mantina siyakhafa, and I remember that those are our mothers, that DNA is in us, and so we don't have to, you know, accept the status quo. We can resist. You learn through them that community. It wasn't a march of one person all the way to the union buildings. It was a community of women, and you know. As a woman, as a black feminist, I believe in community. Like I said earlier, for me, women have been my backbone, my bedrock, the cornerstone of my existence. And so there's no joy. I can't imagine being anything else but a woman, with all its ups and downs, with all of you know. And when you think of being a black woman in the world, and the things that we as black women are facing, and not to victimize ourselves, but it's the reality where all of these isms intersect on this black body. Racism, sexism, patriarchy, all of it intersects on this body. And unless you've lived in this body, you'll go, oh gosh, they're playing the race card. Oh gosh, they're playing the gender card. But it's until you live in this body and you realize the obstacles, that the worst things that happen to everyone else, times that by 10, and you're not even getting a smidgen of what black women experience interacting with the world and living in the world. And to know that in spite of that, those 1956 women risked their lives so that I could exist, so that you could exist. Yeah. What greater way to honor them than to live an audacious and radical life?
Yeah.
Don't be small. Don't apologize. Yeah. If people call you too much, let them choke.
Yeah.
You know, be bold. Be, you know, I get told a lot of times, like, oh my gosh, you're so intimidating. I'm scared to talk to you. And I'm like, and yet here you are talking. So clearly it didn't work. Yeah. So to answer your question, what does it mean to be a woman? To be a black woman to me means everything. I cannot imagine being more magical and more unicorn-y and more endangered, an endangered species that's always under threat. I mean, we just have to look at Women for Change and the stories that you see there and how often black and brown women are there and there. And then it's just like, yeah, well, if you look at all of these things that are intersecting on these bodies of ours, you understand. So for them, for the women that have lost their lives to GBVF, it's my responsibility, it's your responsibility as young women to exist and live a beautiful life.
That was beautiful. And you definitely
making a huge, huge impact within the space. You. I know that right now, with us being here listening to you, you've got an amazing future ahead of you.
Thank you.
An amazing soul.
Thank you so much.
For just being here and reminding us of the beauty of being a woman.
Thank you. I really felt, when I got your invitation, I really felt a calling to be here. And I think it is because of that. You know, I wouldn't be here again without the women that I've mentioned, Marlene Peterson, Elizabeth Hounsfield, my beloved mother, Nusisakele Mbangeni, but also industry colleagues, Nusibulele Qilichana, Lerato Mvelase, which everyone can see on Marked right now, you know, Shoki Mula. These are women that, without them, I mean, I remember starting at the Marker Theatre and I did a play with them. It was my first play, not my first play, but a couple of, like, maybe second or third play at the Market was with them, and how they held me like sisters. Yeah. They went, and there wasn't a formal conversation of, now you're my mentor and I'm going to... No, we're going to walk with you with life, you know? Yeah. And years later, I mean, literally 20 years later, I still consider them one of my closest friends. I still reach out to them for counsel. Mm. And so it was important to me when you guys called, and I want to thank you for that, because it takes balls. Can I say balls on radio?
Yes, just be you.
Like you said, balls, kahunas. To go, you know what? To Sivola Palone Iza.
Yes.
So I had respect for that. So thank you for inviting me, girls. I really appreciate it.
And it's so nice to also know that you had women next to you supporting you through and navigating your way and your way throughout the whole industry in South Africa. Now, I want to know, were there any challenges navigating through the industry in South Africa as a woman now?
Yeah.
Black woman.
You know, I would be wrong to say that there weren't any challenges, but I don't want it, you know, there's a sort of rhetoric that's going on in the world right now, and understandably so, with, you know, the arts industry, the creative and cultural industries, and the lack of legislation, and artists dying poor, and why is this still happening in 20... I'm hesitant to make it go, oh, whoa, life is hard. Oh, I don't... Yeah. That for me... Even as I was praying before I came here, I was like, my intention is to leave people feeling hopeful in a world that is so, like, devoid of hope right now. Yeah. Like, you know, the situation in Gaza, the genocide that's happening. There's just so much lack of hope that's happening right now. Yeah. So in a very long-winded way to answer your question, yes, did I have challenges navigating the industry? Yes, I did, but which world doesn't exist with challenges? When you accept the excitement of being a human being in the world, you come and I believe this, whichever worldview you subscribe to, but I believe you agree wherever we're at before we come here of like, yo, ziyapopa payana, but we're gonna F around and find out. And so you sign up for life, and life... What life is, the Buddhists say that life is suffering, and they don't mean it in a way of like, oh, you know, life is given. In maths, they used to say given, you put the triangle and you go given, ABC is an isosceles, do you get what I mean? Similarly, life is suffering, but not constantly tapping into what are the challenges? Mm. My challenges are not going to be the same as your challenges.
Yeah.
In the same way that our fingerprints are completely different. I don't know if you know that. My thumbprint and your thumbprint and your thumbprint totally are completely different. So the challenges that were meant for me were designed for me and my path in discovering who I am in this world. It might not be the same for you. So for instance, I graduated at Wits and I did so well, and I was like, and Yavangena. I got to Scandal, I was a background artist for 2 years. For 2 years, I was like, there's another story of someone going, I posted a TikTok and I'm in Hollywood.
Yeah.
We never know. This is the magic and the beauty. And I got goosies as I said that. Yeah. But this is the magic and the beauty of life, is that you never know. So instead of attaching of like, what are the challenges? Yeah, the challenges. I mean, I like granola bars. I have to chew. Is that a challenge? Yes. Mara, it's a granola bar. Like, I knew yesterday that it was going to be. So similarly, and especially now for you guys, where the world of work is being challenged, like I said, by rapid technological advances in AI, the world is so, you don't know. So you might as well go with it, your full chest and your full heart and go, life, I accept that there's going to be obstacles and challenges, but I'm here for the ride.
Yeah.
So that one day when you meet your maker and they ask, yo, how was life? You go, yo, let me tell you about it.
Yeah.
That's my ultimate dream. That if one day I meet Prakod, I'm like, yo, first of all, men are a menace.
Yeah. Looking at the man that's there.
Men are a menace, but whoa, did I have fun. I ate this. Yeah, man. That's my goal.
Came to Madiba's radio.
I came to Madiba. I chilled with the girls. It was a vibe. Like, I really... So to answer your question, what are the challenges? Life is a challenge.
You know what I love about your answers? That reminds me of my dad. He loves to say that, imagine if we were all the same. How so life
boring.
Would be so boring.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. What interesting story would you have to tell to your kids, to your friends, and the people around you? So life is for the living. And it's just literally getting out there.
Absolutely. Of course, of course. I want us to play a game.
Okay.
Just quick fire questions.
Sure.
So we're going to give you, we have 5 seconds to answer each question.
Sure.
Ne? So stage or screen?
Oh, that's not fair. Stage. Stage.
Yeah. But didn't you watch one?
Because remember, I told you the story about the Savoy Theatre. That's why it's my first love. That's why I literally fell in love. So,
your first love.
Yeah.
Okay. And then success to you means?
A happy family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just happy family.
With the people that actually genuinely love you. And
And family isn't always blood. Family can be the family that you've chosen for yourself. Like I often sit at dinner tables with my friends and I go, oh, I chose a good family for myself. So happy family is success for me.
Beautiful. Dream roll. Dream roll.
5, 4.
Anything opposite Viola Davis.
Oh!
Yeah.
Why?
I love her.
Oh!
I love Viola. I
see it.
I think she's incredible. I love her.
I see it.
Yeah.
Mm. I see it.
I receive.
Please.
My guilty pleasure is?
Eating copious amounts of chocolate. It's ridiculous. I love it so much. I love it when I'm sad. I love it when I'm happy. I love it when I'm feeling nothing.
Yeah.
Chocolate.
Just binge it.
Love chocolate so much. So much.
Any type of chocolate, do you have a specific
any
one?
Like
it
type.
Comforts you?
It makes me happy. I love chocolate.
Okay, so the role I'll never forget is...
That's a good question.
Sure. Mm.
I nearly said Thembeka Shezi, but actually it is the play that I did at the Market Theatre when I was maybe about 19, 20, and I played the part of, originally it's a James Baldwin play, and I played the part of Mrs. Chinotimba. She was an asylum seeker. In the original play, it's called Mrs. Jackson. She was an asylum seeker, and I had 2 scenes, and had to learn Shona. And I remember this guy, he was part of the NYU WITS program that happened at the time, and he came to me after the play and spoke like fluent Shona to me, and I was just like, no, bro, masasa wase bye. You know, I don't understand. I don't understand what you say. It was then that I realized the power of this work that I do, that it can make someone who hadn't been home in a long time, and he was based in New York, miss home, remember home, all because of make-believe. And Mrs. Jackson, Mrs. Chinotimba had a baby that had gotten, was ill, and she went to this church and she asked the pastor to pray for him, and then the baby died. And I just remember, yes, your 19, 20-year-old me was brave. Like, I get it when people, yo, I get it when people say, like
19, 20?
Bravery and it's wasted on the youth. I miss being that brave. Yeah. Like, I miss
you
being that old.
Are.
Yeah,
am
you
I?
Still
are. You still are. You're still
I'm a bit battle-worn, but yeah, I guess.
So, another one. When I'm not acting, you'll find me?
Reading. I love studying. Mm. I just completed my postgraduate diploma in public management and business, purely because I just wanted to read. Yeah. I love, and I'm already thinking, oh gosh, what am I going to study next? I love studying.
You only studied because you felt like you want to read.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love thinking, guys. That's why I said to you, when you guys asked me about varsity, and I was just like, I think if you have access and the blessing and the opportunity and the privilege, because you can never learn enough. There's never, and it helps you understand the world better.
Yeah,
I love reading. And if I'm not studying, I'm reading, because as an actor, that's how I fertilize my creativity. I don't get actors who don't read when they go, oh, I'm Nantandufun, Jani. Because it helps you literally paint a picture in your mind. And that's what acting is about sometimes. You have to read the script and imagine. Living truthfully in these imagined circumstances. So
I could also say, because you're given like a paper, a document to read, maybe the script actually. Yeah. You have to read the script.
Yes, ma'am.
If you lazy to read, it might not work.
It's like a bus driver going, yeah, marangyong ano driver.
Aiba! Kanjani.
Also, like, reading does this thing where it takes you on a whole different
imagination,
yes, and you get to see different worlds.
Yes.
And then I think that's also part of acting.
Absolutely.
Now you tap into a different space, a different field.
Absolutely.
But before that, now, we want to separate the artist side, and we want to get to know you.
Okay.
Beyond the artist, right?
Great.
I want to know, what kind of stories are you most passionate about telling moving forward?
Oh, that is, again, a great question. I wouldn't want to say, I recently shot an action. It's only coming out in the middle of 2026, so I can't really say much about it.
Okay.
But if someone had said to me,
if
someone had asked me that question, I would have been like, oh, you'd never, I'd never put myself in it. Yes, I loved it. Mm. I love jumping. I love nearly breaking my arm.
Just the stance.
I love all of that. Yeah. And I didn't think that I would. So that's something that I'd love to explore. Mm. But I think as an artist, just to be able to tell stories is, again, my greatest privilege and pleasure. But doing action, it's nice. There's nothing that helps you get into your body more than that. So you don't get to have hang-ups about your body, because your body's just like, dinalumkaba and this big ass. I'm still gonna kick ass though. So I would love to do more of that.
Yeah. So what excites you about choosing a role, or how do you actually choose a character?
So I think, and I'm glad you asked that question, because I think the misconception, particularly in the South African entertainment context, is that we think that actors have that level of agency. Mm. And to a certain degree you do, in as far as, you know, what stories do I audition for, what I don't. But our industry is too small and not like financially, it's like, it's not Hollywood. So it's not generating the level of revenue or the level of regulation that they have for us actors to be able to go, oh, well, this is what I do. So when actors say that, I'm just like, why are you lying? We don't choose. So you go and audition and just like everyone else.
Okay.
And it's not a pessimistic way. It's just like, but we don't have to lie. Just tell the truth.
Yeah.
You know? So do I choose roles? Yeah, sometimes I don't want to play Tembek. I like, I know a lot of people be like, yeah, give us what you did in Tembek. It's just like, oh, that was ages ago. I don't want to do that anymore.
I don't want to do that.
And as a result, I haven't been, because a lot of people are like, we're in it. I am shooting stuff, just not the stuff that you're seeing right now. But also a lot of people are like, yeah, but Tembek is like, yeah, Tembek was like almost a decade ago. Let's walk away.
Yeah, that chapter's closed.
Yeah. So what helps me navigate the stories that I choose, for lack of a better word, radical curiosity.
Okay.
I'm curious about meeting new people. And I treat my characters as if I'm meeting new people and I'm curious about, like, I met Tembeka and understood her, and now I want to meet Akona, my sailor on the river, and I'm curious about her, and I move on to that, and I want to go. So it's curiosity, and if the curiosity, my curiosity is piqued, then I lean in and I do my best. Yeah,
and I also think it's very also nice and also very wise to also take every opportunity that you get.
Absolutely.
And just run with it.
Absolutely.
So we also know that theater is sort of the base foundation of your craft.
Yeah.
So what is it that theater gives you that TV doesn't? Or vice versa?
Ooh, the immediacy, the intimacy. Because in a theater, I don't get to go, you libeli line.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it again. No.
Yeah. I remember, you're watching.
Here's a funny story. I was doing a play that I really loved, The Suitcase, and I was acting opposite to Siyabonga Twala, and we were on tour, and we'd been doing the scenes for so long that it becomes almost mechanical, but I loved it because we always kept it fresh for each other. Anyway, in the scene, Siyabonga's character gives my character Unamhla an apple. He's bought an apple, and you know, he's gifting her this apple, and she's so excited because the love of her life has bought her something from it down. And we're touring the UK, the north of England, and I cut this apple as I've done many other days before, and for some reason this apple goes down the wrong pipe. And I'm choking, but I also have to carry on my life. And it was so incredible because the audience can clearly see that I'm struggling because I'm going, but I'm still saying the lines. But we're still saying the lines. But between my co-star and I, we're looking at each other in the eyes, and I can see him going. And he literally said in his solo, right, like, because I won't give him a England. And I'm like, but must go back. And eventually, he gets me water, I drink the water, and we carried on with the scene. But it was so beautiful in that moment that the audience also picked up, because once we got through and they saw I was fine, we just got this massive applause, because at no point did we stop. But there was this agreement amongst myself, Siyabonga, and the audience that right now something has happened, but we're going to keep it moving. So I love that intimacy, that immediacy. That perhaps television doesn't give you. And with television, I love that you can do several takes so you can explore. Yeah. So, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, it's the same with stage and television. It's a great question people love asking. It's just like, well, what came first, the chicken or the egg, you know?
Yeah.
And then as we go into the life beyond an artist, right? Yeah. Just separating the art and separating separating all of that. We want to know, are there any upcoming projects or roles that you can share with us?
Well, girls, we're not separating. We're right there. And I don't want to be separated, if I'm being honest with you. I think we all are multi-potentialate. We all are multifaceted. And sure, being an artist is a facet of who I am, but it's not my entirety. So I kind of hear what you guys are saying of, like, who are you beyond that? And I love that question, because people want you to just sit in this box, because you only make sense in this box. So thank you for asking me that. Are there any roles that I can share? Listen, 2026 is going to be a great year.
There's a
lot of stuff that is coming out. Recently, a game that I voiced called Relooted is coming out very soon, I think on PlayStation. But that was another incredible experience of voicing a game.
And it is crazy.
I know, right? And and running that you hear, that was me entirely.
Ooh, wow.
And I remember as a kid, I used to love playing Lara Croft, and I didn't realize that, so they call them cinematics and these little stories in between the game. I didn't realize that every single thing that you hear on the game, that's the actor, right? So that's something that I'm really excited
about.
That's coming out. And I'm not a gamer, but if you are a gamer, it's going to be available on PlayStation, apparently. I don't know. but that's been exciting. This film that I told you guys about that we shot in Cape Town, I really can't say anything about it, because the NDA that I signed, we would have to do a crowdfunding to pay, to pay it. Some really nice projects that I've done with the good people at Netflix is coming out next year. So there's really going to be a lot. I think people forget that just because you're not seeing me every day as you used to when I was on a soapy doesn't mean that I'm not doing. I'm just doing other things that take time. And I'm grateful that I am at a place in my career where I can choose to do things that way, that I don't have to do the conventional thing anymore. And not to say that I'm negging the conventional thing, but I'm grateful that I can choose. And so the game, these two movies, these shows, it's going, 2026 is going to be a vibe.
Of course, Tina, we're happy with how much you've shared with us. Tina, we're sure we're going to be on the lookout for everything and your work in the future.
Thank you, my
So, when, as a phenomenal woman that you are, how do you hope to be remembered as an actress and also as a woman?
Oh, what a great question. And in light of, you know, the passing of Mam Nandi Nyembe, we've really lost a lot of my colleagues this year. I would like to be remembered as someone who loved and loved deeply, and someone who was here. I think, you know, I want people to go. I remember I lost a very dear cousin of mine a couple of years ago, and I lost a dear friend of mine last year, and I remember both of their deaths really shook me, and I thought, like, the weird thing about grief, and we're not talking about death, but I don't know why my head went immediately there when you asked that question. That's also an interesting interpretation, but from my part, but I'm finding myself contemplating that a lot, not in a morbid way, but just, you know, everything lives and dies. Even right now, our cells are in the process of living and dying and living and dying and living and dying. So these things are, these contemplations are not bad contemplations to have. They're not negative. But I remember when I remember my cousin and my dear friend Msindazwe, I go, you know, these people were here and I loved them. And I think when I transition one day, I hope people get that taste and share a good aroma. You want people to leave them with a nice aroma, man. And when I think of these two, I think, oh, what a nice aroma they left. So I hope that one day, wherever I go, whether I leave a job, you know, as when, you know, left Scandal, and you hope that you leave it going, no, man, them lapha lomuntu, and ukhe kwaba mnandi. Yeah, and I think that's why I start. I mean, people who follow me on social media often ask me about this here thing that I start my posts with. And for me, here is such a strong word. First, I had an ex who had here tattooed on his knuckles. And I remember asking him about it, and he said that it was just a reminder to be here in this moment, not in the past, not in the present, but here. And it's such a radical, conscious exercise. To use all of your faculties to be still and be here. And so, I hope that people remember that I was here.
Yeah, I think your orange alone just makes us see you and remember, and you should feel that you are here.
We feel that
you are here.
In the words of Beyonce, I lived, I laughed.
Yes, yeah, I was here. Exactly. Thank you.
Do you have any words, any advice that you would give to a young woman who's listening right now, who's chasing big dreams, who have like plans, and or maybe just in the field, or maybe not in your field, in our field of media industry, but maybe in any field, any young woman chasing dreams out there?
Oh, first of all, I think my biggest advice and words of encouragement would be, like, life demands that you be audacious, hey? And I think that's been the theme of our conversation, is just the through line of the conversation has been, like, be bold, be here, be audacious. I mean, a girlfriend of mine said to me the other day, we have to have the audacity of, like, a mediocre white man.
Actually.
I remember saying to her, and, man, The world is obviously going to throw whatever it can at you, and it must. But I truly hope that you don't allow that to sink you, but rather use that negativity to propel you. Mm. So women are alchemists. You give us... We've got an egg, you give us a sperm and we turn it into a whole human being with a nervous system and a heart and a brain. And so that's what we innately are. We can take the bare minimum and turn it into something fantastic. That doesn't necessarily mean that we must accept the bare minimum. Yeah. So I think when I talk to young women and relationships, like, you are the sun, not them. And I think the biggest parting words I would have for young women is what my lecturer Waruna Siani used to make us say. We were doing Romeo and Juliet in second year of varsity, and it's a gift that she was given by her lecturer Mark Fleischman, Professor Mark Fleischman at Wits, at UCT, I beg your pardon. And she would make us say, "I'm beautiful." Mm-hmm. So say it with me.
I am beautiful.
I am talented.
I am talented.
And somebody out there loves me.
And somebody out there loves me.
Say it again, girls. I am beautiful.
I am beautiful.
I am talented.
I am talented.
And somebody out there loves me.
And somebody out there loves me.
There we go.
Thank you so much.
Listen, you won my heart. I feel like I'm in therapy.
Good.
And also, Masasa is an advocate for mental health.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
So same day, born. I feel it because I think a part of me has healed and gotten motivated and go. I feel like I'm empowered.
I'm so
I think
glad
coming out of this room now, I feel like I'm ready for anything.
Yes. Enter there.
Yes. I feel like
when you get out there, pez guabo.
And I'm just catching a lot of positive vibe and energy from you. That and I think Lento says we are sure gonna remember you
I'm
for
so
that.
Glad to hear that.
And any social handles? How can we just catch up with you and follow you and make sure we are up to date with your work?
Instagram at madlomo2 madlomo2, and the reason's because I deleted my post in my account in a fit of rage, so that's why there's a 2 now instead of the 1.
Just gonna search for Masasa.
You'll find me. Mostly on Instagram way and Twitter, same thing. Put Masasa on Twitter. It's a long story why
I was about to ask. Where's that coming from?
I could say that there's a question. I went, no, it's a long story. We don't need to go there. Just search and let's stay in touch. On TikTok, I don't understand that platform, so it's I'm so confused. Like, I promise I have to ask my nephew to tell me. I don't get it. Like, I'm quasi chiva. I have to press this. I'm loving growing old, but what admin. So just search, you'll find me somewhere and we can connect.
Thank you so much for coming through. We appreciate that you honor the invite and we love you and all the best for the future endeavors, and we are behind you. We're going to support you and thank you.
Thank you, my loves.
And from me to you, you're doing an amazing and incredible job. Thank you for changing the space.
Thank you,
darling. Not only in the acting industry, but just as a person that
you are. Thank you,
I hope
thank
you continue
you.
To shine your light and just be you, audacious. Please.
When you lose the world, thank you for having me, girls. I appreciate it.
Niyazivela ke sana. Qhubinkani nawe apho khona. It is the Diva Drive podcast bringing you live. Usisi Masasa Mbangeni. I had a lot and infundile. Vuyo, are you still okay?
Girl, I'm good. And listen, I'm ready to get out there. Ngibangene.
Of course. It's still your lady ongeziwa kona kumba. I am Onge Joy, the joy, the lady of talk.
And Vuyo Twagwanzwai, but now to be your joy as always.
Bye.
The best youth station in the Bay.